situation is different. And there are some kihilois where the chasen bereshis is considered to be the most chashuv, and the rav gets chasen bereshis. And there are other kihilois where the chasen torah is considered to be more chashuv. I think, I don't know if this is true, but I think in the litvish olam, the misnagdim, the non-chassidish world, the chasen torah is considered to be more chashuv, and in the chassidish world, the chasen bereshis is considered to be more chashuv. I don't know if that's accurate. That's my sense from different kehilos that I'm familiar with. Okay, I'm familiar with some of the kehilos I'm familiar with is where the Rav gets, and the more the Hasidic kehilos that I'm familiar with, the Rav gets Chasen Bereishis. And in the Litvish kehilos that I am familiar with, the Rav or the Rashiva gets Chasen Torah.
But there is a third kind of shot where
Kol Na'or.
The more money who gives, who beats out.
They auction, right? So which one goes like which one goes for the most money? Yom Kippur, many shuls, mafter yoina. I don't know what goes for more money. Mafter yoina, psicha for neila. I don't know. It depends on the shul. It depends. So some shuls mafter yoina is the most chashuv kibud. On other shuls, the most chashuv kibud is psicha for neila. Okay, so you can't generalize. Okay, on Yom Tov, this geshem, this tal. You really can't generalize. Every shul has its minhagim, its customs, and this is something which I think you look carefully, you'll see that there's a difference between the two. And I think the machriya should be, you look at the rishus. If you look at the nusach of the rishus for chasad, which we're going to do b'li neder, we're not going to do it today because I was at a photocopy machine, but it's a lot of pages to copy, and I was gonna, already was late. I was already rushed, and I didn't really have a chance to do it correctly. So I figure we'll do it tomorrow, and instead today we'll talk about other things. But I think it's a very worthy study. Maybe if I can do some research today, who composed these piyutim, and you look at the flavor, look at what it's. They're very different, and in my limited understanding, if you look, I think we have a question. What's more chashev? Who am I to tell you what's more chashev? Look at Klal Yisrael. In Klal Yisrael, you see that it depends. There are certain kilos that chasen Torah, chasen Bereishis. I think maybe someone will want to tell you that in an intellectual kilo, you have to go back to the roots of chasidim. Of the roots of how Chassidus started for people that were not focusing on the intellectual pursuit of Judaism. Okay, by the Misnagdim, there the focus very much dwells upon intellectual pursuit of Torah, and the early origins of Chassidus is where those people that were not holding by serving Hashem through Yigia in Amilus B'Torah, which is really the masses of people, including myself, you just can't let them drop out. There was an approach where you connect to Hashem through davening, through all other forms to inject, to appreciate the sanctity that lies in every form of service to Hashem. Today it's moot, because today there is clearly a thorough integration of Chassidus and the intellectual pursuit in both camps. So the Chassidim today, some of them are some of the most outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, and all of the Litvaks today all have Rebbes, and they all know how to enjoy, how to have a tish, and know how to do all the things that the Chassidim do. They do just as good. So today, basically, there's no difference. There's really, come on, no difference. There's a little bit of focus. It's negligible, the difference today. It's all the same today. But so those that want to focus on serving Hashem through the study of Torah, so when you make a siyum, assume that's that's what's most chashuv. You have achievement, intellectual achievements. Those that serve Hashem through emotion, passion, it's the haschala. You have to embrace the embracement of Torah, and that is chasan bereshis. Now, however, if you look at the nusach, I personally feel that the nusach of the chasan Torah is more potent. Is a more potent a nusach than the nusach of chasan bereshis, and perhaps that can be machria. Okay. So this is something which I'm going to do tomorrow, because in the article Siddur, I don't believe they have it. Okay, I was very disappointed. Rav Mordechai, this is your...
My granddaughter.
Your granddaughter, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. What's your name?
An Israeli citizen.
What's your name?
Carmela.
I can't hear.
Carmela.
Carmela. Welcome to your grandfather's koila. Okay. Your grandfather's very chashev here. He's one of our... Chashuva members of the Kollel. You've married Yisrael. You live in Eretz Yisrael. You came to visit for Yom Tov. You came to Chutz La'aretz for Yom Tov. So how is Chutz La'aretz? It's not so bad, right? It's okay? Not so bad. What? She should be at least live over here. Okay, so you're familiar with America. Okay, so that is the topic. Let me just show tomorrow. I believe Edward would make photocopies. I'm going to go through the two nuschos to get appreciation, the difference between chasan and torah, and bereshis. And I think it's a very good place after you study the two and you look at the nuschos. That should be, in my opinion, a deciding matter of which is more chashuv. See, if you take out the reshus and you just think about it conceptually, you can be mesayim the Torah, and you begin the Torah, okay? So then, you can look at it. But when you look at what the Paitonim have done, and what has become the custom in Klal Yisrael as to the kavod that is given, the one that is given the chasan Torah, versus the kavod that's given to the one that gets chasan bereshis, this is a very powerful statement of in Chazal's thinking of what it was. We're not doing Tilm today. Today we're just going to talk. About Yom Tov a little bit. All right. So that Emir Tashem is a teaser for tomorrow. Chasan Torah versus Chasan Bereshis. What about Kol Hanorim? Kol Hanorim is a whole different sugya. Kol Hanorim is Hamalach. That's a whole different sugya, and that there's no Rishus. There is no reshus for Kol Hanorim, and there is no piyut for maftir. They just call them up, ya'amoid, and they don't get any ceremony, and you don't hear people getting a big, big celebration. I never heard someone giving a maftir, simchas Torah maftir kiddush, a simchas Torah kiddush for Kol Hanorim. The most I've heard, here is you have a chasan Torah kiddush and a chasan bereshis kiddush. We're not doing Tilum today. Today we're just going to talk about Yom Tov a little bit. I want to share with you some ideas on the Yom Tov. One of the ideas on Yom Tov is the Ushpizin. Okay, every day we invite into the Sukkah guests. On the first night, and by the way, does everyone feel the same sentiment that I have, that it was a blatant open miracle the first night of...
Yeah,
okay. Is that a Mordechai? I want to hear of Mordechai. Mordechai is a tough guy. I want to hear what he has to say. What do you feel about what happened on the night of Sukkot? Was it a blatant...
It's a
Simen
Bracha.
Oh, a Simen Bracha. A Simen Bracha, absolutely.
I think it was a halachas.
Saying a new din. That Rebbe, there was a Tzvi in Shemayim. How come Klal Yisrael does not learn the halachas, the simonim, what to do in case there's rain? So now that Klal Yisrael, they learned the halachas, I only got about 25 emails Erev Yom Tov from every Rav in the world telling you his opinion, and everyone was a little bit different. Klal Yisrael was in the Kayim, they now know the halachas cold. Okay, so now it doesn't have to rain. Now, by the way, I didn't inquire, what happened in Lakewood? In Lakewood, did it stop raining? Does anyone know?
Was it raining there?
Yeah, it was raining in Lakewood. It was raining in Lakewood.
Was it raining? Was it raining to begin with in the afternoon?
Yes, it rained all day there.
Yeah.
Yes, it rained. I was supposed to go to Lakewood.
Yeah.
Because of the torrential rains.
Yeah.
I ended up not going.
So did it stop at night?
No, it was still drizzling. It was still raining a little bit.
It was still raining. So what did most people do in Lakewood?
The morning also was there.
So what did most people do in Lakewood at night? They did not eat in the sukkah. They just ate. I didn't inquire. We'll find out. I have to make some phone calls today. Talk to my brother. Find out what happened in Lakewood. But here, I don't know.
There's one that you wait till it's dry.
They go there. They make kiddush.
Right.
Wrap it all up at once.
Right.
Wasn't that there? They had everything all prepared.
Yeah, but you couldn't make a leisha b'sukkah.
It was very. No
leisha
b'sukkah. Oh, that's the thing.
But they went in.
You don't have a choice.
Everything was ready, the kiddush, before the
you don't got a choice. That you have to go in. But the question is, did they get to make the bracha leishev basukah?
Could you make it later, go out again?
If it stops raining later, yeah, you have to go back and wash again. You have to go back and wash again. But if it's still damp and it's still not...
Well, if you're in the middle of the meal, you don't have to wash.
What?
If you're in the middle, you don't have to wash.
Right, you have to wash if you know the meal. But it has to be comfortable enough where there's no, it's not begeder mitzta'er. Where you can make the leishei v'asukah. That's the whole thing. The whole thing is, are you zoichet to make the leishei v'asukah at night? In New York, it's totally stopped raining.
Yeah, they say that as far as when is it a simon klola, my son told me from Lakewood, there are two reasons why it's not a simon klola. First of all,
Chutz l'aretz,
right. Because in Eretz Yisrael,
it's not, doesn't rain. Right, it doesn't rain this time of the year.
It rains, it's Mashana, the Teva,
right.
The rain, that's a simon klola. But here, when it's we need the rain, it's raining all the time.
And what's the second reason?
But if it's a change, so here it's the change, it's raining, Hashem stops it, it's a simon bracha.
If it starts to rain erev Yom Tov and it rains through Yom Tov, that's not a simon klala. It's only a simon klala if it's...
That's not a simon klala because it's only a simon klala when it's dry all the time.
And then it rains. It rains. If it's
back.
Raining erev Yom Tov and it rains through Yom Tov, it's not a simon klala. It's only if it's not raining erev Yom Tov and then it begins to rain. So there for two reasons it would not have been a simon klala anyway. Okay, let's discuss the ushpizin there. We invite into the sukkah. I don't know if they would come in the rain though, the ushpizin. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, Yosef, and David. Now the big machloikis when it comes to the ushpizin is where does Yosef appear? Does Yosef appear after chronologically Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Yosef, and then Moshe, Aaron, and David? Or is the correct order for the Ushpizin Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and then Yosef and Binyamin? So there's a machloikis, Yosef, which day of Sukkot is Yosef invited as the guest of honor in the Sukkah? If you look in the different Sidurim, the different Ushpizin, I don't know, I don't remember which is more prevalent. But you'll definitely find
one art scroll.
Yeah.
Both
versions, really?
Yeah, side by side.
Interesting, okay. Yeah. Over here I have the art scroll Siddur. Let's see if I can look over here. You have to ask them. Oh, excellent. Why don't you just ask them? We'll see who comes. Just see who shows up, right? Well, you have to really invite them. Okay, Ushpizin, over here they have the Ushpizin, and here they have in the art scroll Siddur, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Yosef. Okay, so this is in an art scroll Ashkenaz Siddur. I don't know what it says in the Sfarad Siddur, but in Ashkenaz, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Yosef, because it is in chronological order, Yosef comes after chronological order. Or Kabbalistic order. Now, why would Yosef be invited to come on the second to last day? So the answer is because of Nisach HaMayim. One of the popular reasons given is because there's a halach. We all know that one of the mitzvahs of Sukkot is Nisach Hamayim. What is Nisach Hamayim? Nisach Hamayim is every single day of Sukkot. It's really the truth. It's a machlokes exactly which days, but let's assume it's simply 7 days. The first to the sixth day, seventh day, all 7 days, except for Shabbos, they go to the Shiloyach, they go outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Har Habayis, and they go to the spring called the Shiloyach, and they fill up a container of water, and they bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, and they ascend the Mizbeach, and they pour the water on a designated spout on. Thank you. They pour the water on a designated spout on top of the Mizbeach, and the water goes down all the way to what's called the Shisin. The Shisin is a cavity in the ground underneath the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where it collects. Now, there's something very interesting, just in general, about the Nisach HaMayim. The Nisach HaMayim really is not just, there are two pourings of liquid that are done in the Beis HaMikdash. There is the pouring of Yayin. Every single carbon is accompanied by Yayin, the pouring of Yayin on the Mizbeach. We say this in the Musafim. It says, Umin Chosam v'niskehem kimedubar. For a par, we pour four lugim of, no, six. For a par, we pour in the Mizbeach six lugim of mayim. For an ayil, we pour in the Mizbeach four lugim of yayin. And for an ayil, I'm sorry, for a keves, we pour three lugim of yayin. So every single carbon is accompanied by wine libations, yayin. Mayim, we don't pour. Mayim, we only pour. Mayim is a stand-alone procedure. On Sukkot, on the 7 days of Sukkot, there's a ceremony with the Kohanim. I'm not sure who goes out, who's the one that does it. There's something about the Kohanim, maybe it says in the Mishnah who does it. They go out to the Shiloyach, they fill up a jug of water, and they bring it in, they ascend the Mizbeach, and they pour the wine, the Mayim, on the Mizbeach. So it's a stand-alone procedure that has nothing to do with Nisuch HaYayin, only Nisuch HaMayim. However, there is one thing to keep in mind, and that is, where is it deposited? Where does the water end up? It ends up in the same exact destination as the Yayin. Okay, this no one talks about. We talk about there's a mitzvah of Nisuch HaYayin and there's a mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. But the Nisuch HaMayim relates to the Nisuch HaYayin, not just that the two spouts are next to each other, and one spout, the spout of the Mayim, was never used the entire year. It was only used on Sukkot for the Mayim, and the Nisuch HaYayin was used every single day for every single carbon. But what about the destination? The liquid that goes down into the sheath and into the cavity in the ground ends up in the same cavity, in that same location, which is basically what we do when you have wine. It makes the yayin, in other words, when we drink wine, today Bizvanazeh, the whole thing is not relevant Bizvanazeh, because our wines today are very weak. But in the time of Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, yayin was extremely potent. And it was basically impossible to drink grape juice. Raw yayin could not be consumed by the average person. It had to be diluted. And how much was it diluted? So the Gemara says basically it was diluted either three parts water and one part wine, or two parts water and one part wine. So Gemara, the basic dilution of in time of Chazal, it was not edible, it was not consumable to drink pure wine. Wine had to be mixed with water. That was a standard procedure in the different stories in the Gemara, where there was one of the Amorim who was blind, I don't remember his name, and one of his students came and he diluted his cup of wine, and when the Rebbe drank the cup of wine, he said, wow, this drink haste, just like the dilution, the way it was diluted for me by one of my students years ago. And the student says, Rebbe, guess who came to visit you? It's me. Here I am. What's the big deal? What do you mean? So just he diluted it? It must be there's an art. There is an art in the mixing of yayin with mayim. And indeed, Chazal say it's by design. Mayim represents rachamim, and yayin represents midas hadin. And when we prepare a mashke of yayin at every su'uda, okay, every su'uda, every life cycle event, bris milah, pidyon haben, a wedding, Kiddush, Shabbos, Yom Tov, begins with Boirei Pri Hagofen. Ad kedei kach, that some will tell you that if a person makes the Boirei Pri Hagofen under a chuppah and no one drinks from the yayin, it's not a bracha levatola. It's not even a bracha. How are you talking? You made a Boirei Pri Hagofen, you not toyim? There are two dinim in the Boirei Pri Hagofen. It's a bracha sanenin, and that's why l'chatchila we drink from the yayin, but b'dieved, there's something very special about the yayin that it represents the Indvi HaGefen, I don't know, some Kabbalistic thing that you make a simcha, an event, a life cycle event is accompanied by yayin. Now, I want to go so far to say a chiddush that you can't say, it's illegal to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, to bring out a point, and that is, again, let's go back to this idea. You go to a bris milah. Today, a bris milah is complicated. Like today, I had to leave early to get around to Chaim Berlin, there's a bris. They're already 3 for 3, by the way. The last 3 bris milas. Mr. Cohen, you can close the door. It'll be helpful. Can you close the door? Thank you very much. Is there noise out there? Where's noise coming from out there? So they're 3 for 3. The last 3 bris milas, they named the baby Aaron Moshe. Aaron Moshe is the name of the Rosh Shiva. The last 3 bris milas. But today is the bris, so where do you drink the wine? You make a bris milah indoors, inside the shul, and where do you drink the yayin for the bris milah? Sukkos today. On Sukkos, you're supposed to make a boy, you're supposed to drink the yayin inside the sukkah. So today, when they make a bris milah in a shul, and you make a boy priyagofen, where do you drink the yayin? Do you drink the yayin inside? Do you take the wine? Do you bring the wine to the sukkah? The shul you have sick because it's not in the same. You have kavana. I don't remember. It's a whole shalom what to do. Why don't you go just to have the bris in the sukkah? That will solve all the problems. So some people hold you should have the bris mila in the sukkah just because of the problem of the boy priya gofen on the yayin. So you can drink the yayin in the sukkah. Some paiskim say you shouldn't dare do that. Loy plug because it's a sakana to bring an infant into the sukkah. Why? Because sometimes it can be very cold. Sometimes it can be very hot. Sometimes schach, we today were spoiled, we have very good schach, but in the olden days, the schach wasn't so great, and schach can fall off from the roof and go into your eyes. So it seems there's some... So that's what they do. I think that's what they do pretty much. They give it to a child. They give it to a child to drink from the yayin. But then you get into all the sugyas of that's not a proper chinuch to teach a child to drink, to eat outside of a sukkah. So then to be told, you don't even drink a full shear. Okay, so that's okay. But these are all like b'diavet. You know, l'chatchila, koshal bracha, you should drink a revius. Okay, there are different opinions as to what to do when you have a bris inside. I remember going to a bris where the bris was in the sukkah. Because of this reason, they made the bris in the sukkah. I subsequently came across a write-up, an article, I know where it is, an article on this sugya, and he cites, maybe it was the Chassam Sofer, someone on that level, that says that you should definitely, under no condition, have the bris in the sukkah. It's a sakana, loy plug. Even though maybe the sukkah that you have is nice and it's a nice year, but once Klal Yisrael gets into the kosher having a bris milah in a sukkah, it will definitely lead to a sakana to the child, because depending where you live and the climate and the year, and also most importantly, the schach can fall on the child. especially going, you know, people, they crowd, it gets very crowded in a small little sukkah. When you have a bris milah, you have the bris milah in the Beis HaKnesses, or in, at home, where you ordinarily would have the bris milah, wherever you'd ordinarily have the bris milah, that's where you have it. And then the suda is in the sukkah, of course. And as far as the burei priagofen, so there are different solutions. You give it to a child, or you drink it. So you drink the yayin outside the sukkah. It's not the end of the world to drink the yayin outside the sukkah. I don't remember the exact details, but we're getting sidetracked. So how did we get into that? Is the Nisa, so here's the Gandhi, because that is a ceremonial thing that we do in every single simcha in Klal Yisrael. There's a ceremony. The ceremony is done over a kois shel bracha, yayin boire priagofen. Now, if I were willing to go out and say something that is shloi kahalach, shloi kedin, or a little bit out, I would say the follows. The ikur din, the ikur purpose of having a ceremony over a cup of wine is not the yayin. It's the process of diluting yayin with mayim. Before you pour the cup, before you recite Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Boirei Pri Hagafen, you're not doing it because you want to drink it. You're doing it because it's ceremonial purposes. So what's the ceremony? Have wine? Yayin Shamur from Gan Eden? No, it's, wait a minute, someone had to fill up the cup. Someone had to fill up this, how did this cup, who filled up the cup? The caterer filled it up. The caterer filled it. Who filled up this cup? The way you fill up a cup of wine is, you pour wine, pure yayin, and then you pour water to dilute the yayin. The yayin represents din. I don't know, this is over my head, this is Kabbalah, it represents creation. The yayin that Shamur in Gan Eden, that no eye has ever seen, it represents the Eitz Hadas, Gefen, according to one man, the Omar, it represents purity, din, ideals. It represents a sacred ideal that was meant to be for this world. Unfortunately, B'yoyim B'roi Hashem Elokim, even though B'reishis Bora Elokim, Es HaShemayim V'es HaAretz, we're not worthy of that. We can't survive. And to get to this moment, where we, to bring a L'achnisoi B'vrisoi Shel Avraham Avinu, Avraham was not meant to have children. Avraham's mazel was, you're not having a child. You're not having a child. Tzei Mitztagninu Shelucha. Tzei. Rachamim. Hashem's going to give you a chosen and kala. It's a miracle. Chosen kala. They get married. What are the chances? It's a special hashkocha. Mm-hmm. You begin a ceremony, a life cycle ceremony with what we have here in front of us today is only through rachamim. It is a dilution of din with rachamim. If I wouldn't know better, what I'm saying over here is a little off, but I wanted to bring out a point. You start off, it's not so much, oh, very nice, very nice. We have over here a cup of wine and yayin, it's so romantic. We have a glass of wine, ambiance, yayin. No, the ikar is the pouring of the yayin. You start off, we're going to make a boreh priagofen. You can't make a boreh priagofen unless it's consumable. Yayin, you don't make a bracha on raw wine. You don't. It's like derech achila. It's a mouthwash. If someone drinks a cup of mouthwash, you make a bracha? Of course not. Oh, but they drink a cup of schnapps. you don't make a bracha. So what do? Oh, we're gonna dilute the yayin with mayim. This, yeah.
Sponges. They were presenting wine in sponges.
Okay, that was a cultural thing.
No, I remember we were learning.
They would preserve it in sponges?
Yeah, it was early way it was observing the wine, and if you wanted to have the wine, you put water and the wine came out. There's the soldiers, the army.
Oh, okay. Okay, that was a technique. That's a technique. But I'm talking about in the Gemara. In time of the Gemara, you squeeze the grapes. The grapes were potent. You couldn't drink it. And what are you doing? Al pi machshava, you are being mamtik. You are sweetening the din with rachamim. And that is true for every ceremony. Every ceremony begins with a recognition: we have here something today that we don't deserve. Hashem gave us a simcha, whether it's a bris, a pidyon haben, a wedding, a kiddush Friday night, Yom Tov. Shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Hashem gave us a matana, and we begin Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Pri Hagafen. What's Borei Pri Hagafen? It's not just a bracha. It's we pour this cup of wine by taking din. We don't deserve this. A gift of Shabbos. A yismach Moshe b'manas chelkoi. It's a gift. Shabbos is a gift. It's a gift, and we take the mayim to dilute the din. Oh, wow, now we can deal with it. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Pri Hagafen. It's symbolic. Take that idea and apply that to Nisuch HaMayim. You'll say to it, but Nisuch HaMayim has nothing to do with Nisuch HaYayin. Yes, it does. Where does the water go? To the same place. HaKol Holech L'Makom Echad. It goes to the same place. It goes down to the shisin. What is in the shisin? The yayin that accompanied the karbonos of the whole year. The whole year. Now, when do you want to say the year started? I don't know. Maybe you want to say, you want to just look back. How far do you want to go look back? You want to go look back to Rosh Hashanah? Okay. So Sukkis is certainly the hashlama, the yerach hoesanim. It's the hashlama of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Par, Echad, Ayel, Echad, Kivos, Mene, Shana, Arba, Osar, Tanimim. And now it comes to Sukkis. And what do we do on Sukkis? On Sukkis, we've poured a lot of wine. We have presented to the Ribbono Shel Olam Yayin. But we realize that the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are called the Yemei Hadin. Yayin is symbolic of din. Sukkis is where we come to dilute the kois shel bracha. The kois is a gigantic kois. It's underground. Under the mizbeach is a massive cavity. And that's where all the ayin goes. And Chazal say once in 70 years or in 7 years, the Pirchei Kohuna would descend to this massive cavity and clean it out. And they would bring up clusters of congealed yayin, and they would use it for different purposes. It's a massive kois. The korbanos of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they are the Yemei Hadin, or by extension, you can say it's the korbanos of the whole year. And now on Sukkos, we take the mayim from the shisin, and ushaftem mayim b'sosoin is we're coming to dilute. We're coming to pour for the Ribbono Shel Olam a glass of yayin that is consumable, because it's not consumable. The same way what we do for the mizbech is achilas makom, we imitate what we do for ourselves. Just like for ourselves, we have achila and the shasiya for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We bring him korbanos, and the shasiya is the yayin, and the yayin has to be consumable. And the way we do that is we dilute it. And this is symbolic of Hamtokas Hadin. Now, what day of the week, where do we know there's something, there's such a mitzvah of Ushaftim Mayim Besosein, of Hamtokas Hadin? How do we know this? So number one is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And number two, there's a Pasuk. And the Pasuk is Unisocheho. In the parish of the Nesim, in the Korbanos, the Pori Hachag, in Parashas Pinchas, when we mention all of the Korbanos of the days, it comes Uvayoyim Hashishi, on the sixth day, There, instead of saying v'nisko, vav nun samach hei, it says a yud, u-ni-so-che-ho. Between the chof and the hey, there is an extra yud, which forces us to pronounce the word not v'nisko, but u-ni-so-che-ho, which is plural. It's two pourings. What are the two pourings? The nisach hayayin, which is standard, and because it says unisocheha, there is an extra yud. Oh, unisocheha, it's merames on nisoch hamayin. Oh, so then there's a mem, there's an extra mem, and there are two extra mems. Mayim, that's a secondary drasha, correct? There's another drasha, there are two extra mems, and mem yud mem. But the ikaremes is on day 6, where there's an extra yud, unisocheha. Now, from the 7 ushpizin, which one of the 7 ushpizin is the one, is merames on the ability, the same concept of what we call of mimamtik din?
Yosef.
Why? Now, why Yosef more than anyone else? And that's a tough question. Why Yosef more than anyone else? First of all, Yosef was obsessed with his goblets. Okay, all these, you know, this is not so really, you know, solid drush. But Yosef, his avoda was basically diluting the harshness of din. Yosef came down to Mitzrayim. There was a famine. People were starving to death. And what did Yosef do? Life. He gave them life. He came up with a plan how to survive. Es Helokim ani yare. He introduced to Egypt Yiras Helokim. As he said it multiple times, Es Helokim ani yare. He forced them all to have a bris mila. Yosef, and only in his zuchus, when they came to Kriyas Yamsef, Hayom Ro'o Vayonos. What did the Mayim see? That it split, it saw the Aroinoi Shel Yosef. Yosef, relative to his brothers, was Midas Harachamim. Yosef was Mamtik, he softened his brothers. His brothers wanted to kill him. His brothers took a very hard line over his behavior. Another different element, but Yosef, when you look at the relationship between Yosef and his brothers were very tough people. They looked at life with midas hadin. This person is out of line. He's out. Yosef is a moir. He's an existential threat to Klal Yisrael, and they decided. They have to kill, he has to be eliminated. There's no room for him in Klal Yisrael. And Yosef, he went down to Mitzrayim, he lived with the Goyim, he lived in the Ervas Haaretz, and he survived. Ephraim and Menashe, he was able to bring salvation to Egypt, into the whole world. Yosef represents, and Yosef in turn, he sweetened his brothers. At the end of the day, they came begging for mechila. They bowed before him. They begged him. He softened them. There's no doubt about it. At the end of the day, Yosef, he softened their attitude towards him. They begged him. They begged him, and they acknowledged him. He softened their. They mellowed. Because of him. That is a fact. They started out in life. Yosef is a dead man. And at the end, in the end of their life, they came to bow before him willingly. First, they didn't realize who they were bowing to. But later, Avicha Tziva Lifnei Moisei Lemar Ono Sona Lefesha Achecha. I know there are some of Farshim that can't swallow this. They want to say they weren't sincere. You know, don't go down that path. The Pashup Shad is, Yosef, he softened them up. They mellowed because of him. Yosef was the Mayim that was mamtik the yayin. Yosef diluted the yayin. In everything in this world, Bereshis is Elokim, Elokim. Hashem saw the world cannot survive al midas hadin. B'yoyim b'roy Hashem Elokim es Hashemayim v'yesaretz. Es Hashemayim v'yesaretz. The world begins with din, but the world cannot tolerate din. The world needs to be mellowed with rachamim. You come to an event in life, you make a simcha, it's not the bori priya gofen, it's the pouring. That's the ikar. I'm telling you, chiddush, it doesn't say. This is a little bit too... the whole avodah by a wedding, mechubit so-and-so with pouring the yayin. Mechubit so-and-so with diluting the yayin with mayim. I have two more kibudim to add to a chasana. Give a kibud to a person to come to pour the yayin. And then a kibud for a person to come and dilute the yayin with mayim. How come they don't give that as a kibud by a chasana? If they give reading the ksuba as a chasana, they should certainly give a kibud the person that gets to pour. The poor. You know the Mishnah Berurah says, I think it's the Mishnah Berurah says, and we have a Gabbai, a Baruch over here, is over here. I saw this, you tell me where it says, there's a very choshev kibud in the one who hands the goylel, the garatel, and the mantle. It's a kibud. It's not just a hagba, the hamagbiva hagoylel, the one that gets hagba, and the one that does galila. There's another kibud that they don't talk about. And that's the kibud of the one that hands over the gartel and the mantle to the one that does a glila. A baruch, do you ever hear this?
Never heard of it.
Okay, I saw this inside, that it's a very chashuva thing. The one that enables the goylel to do the glila, to hand him over. So the gabbai, right? We're in a rush, so the gabbai does. We make life. But I came across this, and I was very. I came across this. We have to find this. The one that hands over the gartel and the mantle is a davar. There's a davar choshev, not to make light of it. So likewise, the one that pours. So the father comes, helps out the child. Okay. You know, but practically speaking, it's very important that there's someone on top of it. Because every time they do Hagba, where's the gartel? Oh, the gartel somehow got lost. Right? If you don't pay attention, the gartel gets lost. And also, even the mantle, if you're not paying attention, you know, it gets somehow, it disappears.
It's mixed up with
two Sefer Torah. Right, but you're not supposed to put down the second Sefer Torah. Second Sefer, people don't know, you're not supposed to put down the second. I'm thinking about the Navi. I'm thinking about the Navi. You're not supposed to make Adin. The second Sefer you have to put down before you say Kaddish. Before you say Kaddish, you have to put down the second Sefer Torah. But you're not supposed to put down the Navi on the Bima until they finish Galila. Some place they're very impatient. You can't take off the second mantle until they finish Galila entirely. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, people are in a rush. They do Hagba. As soon as the Sefer Torah is in the ear, already the mantle is off the second Sefer Torah. Incorrect. You have to wait until they completely finish with Galila on the Sefer Torah, then you take off the mantle from the second Sefer Torah. Likewise, when it comes to the Haftorah, you're not supposed to even put down the if you're leaning from a cloth, and I guess a chumash also, you don't begin the Haftorah, you don't put the Navi on the Bima until the Galila is completely over. You wait for the Galila completely to be done, then you put down the Navi on the Bima. All right, let's go back to our topic. So there's certainly, if I wouldn't know better, I would assume that there's a chashivos in the dilution of the yayin. Today, this is totally irrelevant because today no one dilutes wine. It's unheard of. Okay, wine is not diluted today. There's a whole sugya why be'etzem on Pesach you can mix. Rabelski has a lot of chidushim on this. Rabelski holds that nothing has changed since ancient times. Nothing has changed. The wine is the same strength. He has a lot of chidushim on this. But in Ikar Adin, today they'll tell you that the wine today there's no dilution today when it comes to when they make wine today. When they make wine today, you go buy expensive wine. No one added water to the wine. It's unheard of, such a thing. So what does it mean in the Gemara?
On Pesach, a lot of people like to dilute it because of the alcohol. Reb Zimmerman, I heard from him, that they asked the wine producer, how much water can we add and it's still wine? Right. So they said, they answered him, if we could add more water, we would have done
so. Okay, so there are different opinions about this. Rabelski had some very fascinating chidushim about diluting wine b'zman hazeh. He held nothing has changed this time. The Gemara has a whole mahalach to explain all this. But in any event, today we don't do this anymore. Today, when you buy wine, white wine, grape juice, red wine, dry, sweet, you never ever saw someone at a dinner, at a Shabbos table, dilute during the Seuda. You never saw someone diluting the wine with water. So to us, the whole thing looks strange. But in time of Chazal, this is standard procedure to the degree where it's mashma. You can't even make a bracha on pure wine. It's too strong to drink. So there has to be dilution. And again, the symbolism is we're mimantik din with rachamim. Sukkis follows the yimei hadin. Nisa chamayim is the Hamtokas Din Berachamim, and the Kois Shel Bracha is the Shitzin, is this massive cavity in the earth where it all is deposited into. And who is the one from all of the Ushpizin that identifies with this principle called of the dilution of Din? Yosef HaTzadik. Because Yosef, he's the one that sweetened his brothers. We see it beferish in Chumash. They were very tough, and he had them mellow. He had them mellow. It was his koyach. And furthermore, okay, another idea in a second, but this was Yosef HaTzadik. Therefore, going back to our original question, why is the Kabbalistic approach that Yosef should be the Ushpizin of day six? Because on day six is where we have the Ikur Remez in the Torah for Nisuch Hamayim. Unisocheho. There is an extra yud in the nesachim. There are wine libations that accompany the korbanos that are offered on the 7 days of Sukkot, and on day six there is an extra yud in the word that refers to the wine libations, which force us to read it unisachehah, which means the plural, the multiple pourings of liquid, which what could be more than yayin and mayim. Mikan remes l'nisuch hamayim min haTorah. And where does this remes appear? On day six. So therefore, many want to say, that's why in the Kabbalistic approach, not in the art school Ashkenaz approach, when do you invite Yosef HaTzadik to the sukkah? On day six. Because the Yosef is in person. All the parallels of persons, man, time, place, and three things. Zman, Mokoyim, and Odom. So it's the Zman, and it's the Odom, and it's in the Sukkis. We invite Yosef. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf. Chag Sameach. Shalom Aleichem. Good morning. We invite Yosef on day six. We break the chronology, and we don't put the age of Yosef to be on day after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yosef. But instead, there are those that put Yosef on day six. Others say, no, we don't follow that. We follow the chronology. And Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. Yosef also, in the world of Machshava, is also represents an Av. Yosef is also a father for Klal Yisrael to a degree. He's an extension of Yaakov, so therefore he goes together with Yaakov. Now, Rabbi Mordechai, you mentioned something else. Another reason why Yosef very much is connected to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the day six. Day six is the Nisuch HaMayim. And Nisuch HaMayim was a celebration. Nisuch HaMayim, we do all 7 days. That's except for Shabbos. And Nisuch HaMayim was accompanied by Everyone knows this very great ceremony of this very wonderful ceremony of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Now, in the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, it talks about a minhag that they would light four massive torches, four massive fires in the Ezras Noshim. They put up four very, very high, these massive basins, and the Pirkei Kohuna would ascend these very tall ladders with oil, and they would make a bonfire, not below, all the way high up to illuminate the whole Yerushalayim. Chazal say the whole Yerushalayim was illuminated from these massive fires. Now, then the Mishnah makes it very clear, goes out of its way to tell us what was the fuel, the fuel was oil, and what was the material, the wick, that was used for illumination. Did they have LEDs, incandescent bulbs, fluorescent, halogen, is that the word? Halogen bulbs? What did they use? What did they use to go and to produce the wick? So the Gemara says they used the belts and the pants, the michnasayim, and the avnate of the kohanim was used as material for illumination. This is very interesting. Take this Maimer Chazal and combine it with the other Mamore Chazal as what they was done with the leftover garments of the kohanim. Now, in that very same Chazal, the Medrash also says that from the kesoines, which means the shirt, or really the outer garment, the worn-out tunic of the Kohanim was cut into wicks that were used for the menorah every single day. I never knew that. The menorah had linen, not cotton, and not wool, linen. The wicks that were used in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash were from linen. How come no one uses linen today? Does it burn well? Is oil flows through the wick? I never heard this before. That's what it says in the Medrash. Is that they you look at the Kohanim wore four garments: hat, the michnasayim, the pants, which basically means the undergarments. That's pretty much what it means. And then there's the kesoines. That's the outer garment, which goes over the whole body. And then there is the avnate, is the belt. So the hat, there is no mention whatsoever what happened to the hats. There is no mention. I was yesterday at a su'udah, and I don't know how they started talking. Someone commented on my yarmulke. I became the object of conversation, my good luck. And the guy said to me, how come I'm wearing a Rosh Hashiva yarmulke? I said, what in the world are you talking about? He says, your yarmulke. I said, I don't know. What's this yarmulke? I went to the store, bought a yarmulke. So got the whole schmooze. I didn't ever know all this. You know how many yarmulkes there are? There's velvet yarmulkes. There are linen yarmulkes. There are nylon yarmulkes. And each of those come in four parts. This is a four-part yarmulke. There are four parts. There are four parts, and there are six parts. And each of those comes with a rim and without a rim. So I have a linen yarmulke without a rim, four parts. So the four parts already makes me into an oisvarf. So he was mistaken, because if a four parts, the chassidim will not touch my yarmulke. They will not touch it. It's a tzelem. Four parts looks like a tzelem. You know that? I didn't know that. Six parts. Tradition is to wear a yarmulke that has six parts. Okay? I'm telling you all these crazy things, right?
The Orthodox is six-part sale. They have a double course.
Six parts. There's six parts. There's four parts. There's velvet. Velvet. Velvet with a rim. Velvet without a rim. Then there's linen. A linen yarmulke. Then there's nylon. I don't even know all the nylon, linen, ganze meisa. I don't know, you make me dizzy, don't ask me, just go into the store, whatever they have there, and I close my eyes. I know the difference. You're joking over here. Or then there are these other things, unbelievable. It's mamash a ganze Torah like you never heard. So, question.
Leather yarmulke.
Leather yarmulke. I used to wear leather yarmulke. A leather yarmulke, a kippah surugah, a kippah surugah that has a mug in David, a kippah surugah that your girlfriend made for you. That's the best one. The way you get a shidduch, by the modern Orthodox, it's very easy to get a shidduch. You find the boy you like, and you make for him a nice yarmulke. And that's it. It's a done deal. That's how they do it. Easy as that. You find the boy you like, and you crochet for the boy a nice yarmulke, and that's it. You win his heart, and you're married. By the Litvaks, not so easy. You have a very different sense of humor here. Everyone's giving these very funny looks. All right, but in any event, what happened to the clothing, to the hat, the kippah, the migbo'os of the kohanim when it was worn out? What happened? It doesn't say anywhere. I challenge you, Oitzah HaChochma, you go back in a time machine and you've come back and you tell us, what did the kohanim do when their migbo'os, it's in plural, how do you say it? I don't know how to say it in singular, when their hat, their head covering that they used, no, that's the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is the mitznefes. What happened to the hat of the Kohen Hedyot when it wore out? What did he do with it? What did they do with it? Doesn't say anywhere. It says that when their shirt, their tunic, which basically covered their entire body, which is made from pure linen, when it was worn out and it was time for an upgrade, maybe the Kohen gained weight or he lost weight and it was time for a new garment, they would slice it and make out of it wicks for the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which means that the wicks in the Beis HaMikdash were made from linen. Now, my question to you is, how come Hanukkah's coming up soon? You never ever heard anyone use linen wicks. We're very mahader to use shemen zayis zoch for zecher lemikdash, even though it's not so poshet that you need to use shemen zayis. There's a whole big sugya. Whoever said you're supposed to go and the oil they use for your menorah should be the same type of oil they use in the Beis HaMikdash? We have a menorah that has 8 neiros. It's a whole different din. Whoever said, whoever told you to go use oil? Okay, there are makoros. But there are makoros also that, no, you use wax. It's not such a partial thing that you should bedafka use shemen zayis. When I was in Eretz Yisrael 1 year before Hanukkah, they were selling outside of Nir Yeshiva for a lot of money shemen zayis zoch. Oil that was made with the utmost care, equivalent to how they made oil in the Beis HaMikdash for the menorah, for your Hanukkah menorah. A new business with haskamis. It was a whole show there. I was very fascinated. I didn't buy it, but I was very fascinated. And they had a whole kuntris came with it to explain the sugya of shemen kolt, of shemen zayizah. Okay, Shemin Zayzah. But so how come no one's mahader to use linen for the wicks? And this I never saw before. But it says the Farish in Chazal that from the leftover garments they used linen. They sliced it and they used wicks. Now to me it's a pella because there were thousands of kohanim, hundreds of thousands of kohanim. And the menorah doesn't need from one garment. You can probably make enough wicks for a whole year, right? One garment. I mean, you can make enough wicks from one tunic for a whole year. So what does that mean exactly? I don't know, but that's what it says. And what about from the pants?
Like rags, meaning, you know, you can make a rag.
Like, yeah, but the wicks were very small. They were teeny little wicks. How much? They only put a chatzi loig of shemen for a whole night. I don't know. So this needs explanation. And what do they do with their michnosayim, basically their undergarments and their belts? That it says beferish in the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, at the end of Masechta Sukkah, they used it as wicks or as I don't know what kind of wicks, for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Chazal say, what is, now, when the Kohanim wore clothing, each garment was there to be mechaper on a particular Avera. What was the Mechnasai mechaper on? Chazal say, mechaper on Gili Arayos. The Mechnasayim, the pants, were mechaper on Gili Arayos. And what was the Avnet? On Hirhur Halev. On evil thoughts. Thoughts that were not proper. I'm assuming thoughts not proper regarding, relating to Noshen. And what were the pants mechaper on? Matters relating to Arayos. Because Lechasoy is Besar Erva. The primary purpose of the Mechnasayim was to cover the Erva. So it was mechaper on Arayos, and it was mechaper on Hirhuri Halev. Who was the one in Klal Yisrael that was oimed in this Nisoyon and served as a model for Klal Yisrael? Yosef. Vatisposeu bevigdoi vayonos vayetze hachutza. Vayonos vayetze hachutza. Yosef HaTzadik was the one that was oimed in the Nisan of Eshes Potifar. And just like we have this principle that Avraham Avinu, when Avraham and Yitzhak, when they did the Akedah, they instilled in the DNA of Klal Yisrael the ability to be Moser Nefesh. How is it? This is what they will say, Chazal. How is it that today, Klal Yisrael, throughout the ages, the Holocaust, 6 million people gave up their life on Kiddush Hashem. So what's so special about Avraham and Yitzhak? Yitzhak, the whole cloud, 6 million people in the Holocaust. Go back in history, all the pogroms, the Inquisition, and blood libels. There were numerous times when Klal Yisrael gave up their life on Kiddush Hashem. So what's so special about Yitzchak? Well, the answer is, if not for Yitzchak, no one else would have done it. Yitzchak, when he was Moshe Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, he instilled, he put into Klal Yisrael the needed Aram as well, in the Kivshon Noesh. He put into Klal Yisrael the koyach for all generations to give up one's life al Kiddush Hashem. Yosef did exactly the same thing. When Yosef was oimed on the Nisoyon of Eshes Potifar, Vayonas Vayetze Hachutza, he put into Klal Yisrael a koyach that if you tap into, any single member of Klal Yisrael can be oimed in any Nisoyon of Arayos, just like Yosef. A goy can't. A goy could not be oimed in a Nisoyon land of Arayos. Impossible. Klal Yisrael can. How? Yosef. When Yosef did this act of Ayonas Vayetzi Achutza, he created, in a way that we do not understand, a koyach in every single member of Klal Yisrael, the ability, if he wants, okay, you have to tap into the a koyach l'malam derech hateva to be oimed in the Nisoyon of Arayos. That's Yosef. That's why Yosef is an Av. Yosef, Avraham, everyone gave to Klal Yisrael a gift. Yosef gave a gift to Klal Yisrael, the koyach of the Nisoyon of Arayos. And what did they use on the Yom Tov of Sukkot to celebrate, to give light to Klal Yisrael, at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? It was from the pants, the Nechnasayim, and the Avnet of the Kohanim, particularly the objects which are Mechaber on Arayos and Hirhurei Halev. Who does that connect with? Yosef. Yosef was the one. Vayonas vayetzi achuzav atisbusev bevigdoi Arayos. Therefore, that is why Yosef, it's a secondary reason to what Rav Mordechai is saying, that is why Yosef, again, is the Ushpizin of Yom HaShishi. Yom HaShishi is the Iker day of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, because in Yom HaShishi is where it says in the Torah, Unisochero, an extra Yud, to be Merameh Zanisach HaMayim, which is the Inyan of Misham Shoavim. Okay, Nisach HaMayim. What do they do at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? They would light torches in order to produce oil. And what was the fuel of this? What was the illumination? Where did it come from? The illumination came from the clothing of the Kohanim that were mechaper on Arayos and Hirhuri Halev, which connects with Yosef. A day of Kapora of Arayos and Hirhuri Halev, Shaykh to Yosef, Ayonis, Vayetzi, Achutza, and therefore, that is why many or some have the custom to be dafka, to have an order where the Ushpizin of day 6 is Yosef. It's his clothing that is illuminating the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and therefore he is the special guest that deserves to be present on this day of Yom HaShishi. Okay, there's two mahalchim of why the order, the different change in the order of the Ushpizin. Now let's go me'inyin le'inyin ba'ois inyin. Let's take the Dalid Ninim and connect the Dalid Ninim to the Ushpizin. I probably told you this vart last year. It's my favorite vart on Sukkos, and try to develop it differently every so often. But let's just try to connect the Dalid Minim to the Ushpizin. How many Dalid Minim do we really have? So you'll say we have four, right? I mean, Dalid, right? But our custom, it's not so simple, is that most of us over here, not everyone does this, has basically seven. How do you have seven? How do you get from four to seven? Well, how many Hadassim do you have? So I assume most people here have three Hadassim. Right. Are there any Satma Chassidim here? Oh, a lot more. Okay, there are different customs. There are different customs as to how many Hadassim. Some have unlimited. As many as you can have. Some have 12. I don't know all the Minhagim. There are different Minhagim as to how many Hadassim. What?
$4 a piece.
I don't know. Good question. And Aravos? How many Aravos? Most of us here have two, but there are different customs as to how many are of us. Only one Esrog by his side. Even though some Rebbes have a lot of Esrog on the table, but one at a time. One Esrog, one Lulav, Hadassim, our custom is three, our Ravis is two. How many does that equal to? Seven. Three plus two is five. Then we have one Lulav and one Esrog. Okay, now let's go to davening. Let's go to b'fi Shabbos davening. I tell you this part already probably a few times. I just can't hold myself back because I cherish this part very much. We come to, and there's always a new knetch, ein beis medrash b'le chiddush. We come to a davening on Shabbos, and also it very much relates to the Yomim Noraim. We have Yitzchak and Rivka. Usually, Ashkenazim only have Rivka on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and maybe on Hashanah Rabbah, but generally throughout the year we only have Yitzchak. What am I referring to? B'fi Yisharim Tishalol, uveDivrei Tzadikim Tisbarach, uveLashon Chasidim Tishemam, uveKerev Kedoshim Tiskadosh. So Yisharim begins with a Yud. Tzadikim begins with a Tzadi. Chassidim begins with a Ches. Kedoshim begins with a Kuf. And those four letters spell Yitzchok. And in a good Siddur, they will put those letters in bold to make sure you see it, Yitzchok. Now, what about Tishalol, Tisbarach, Tishabam, Tiskadosh? So in our Nusach Ashkenaz Siddur, Taflux, it's not in any particular order, and therefore you don't have any remes. Oh, all Yom Kippur. But what here? I have a Nusach Sfar, Mr. Cohn. You're very kind. You gave me a Nusach Sfar Tzidah to compare. And here, I believe, even on a regular week, yes, they do, they change the order. Ashkenazim, you know, they're very tzniistic. They don't want any women to come to davening. So it says Tis Halal. But Nusach Sfar, it says Tis Roimam. They change it. We have Tishroimam. Tishroimam is the third in the Ashkenaz, but it becomes the first in Nusach Sfarad. Resh. The second one is Tisborach. Barach, a base. The third is Tiskadosh, Kuf. And the Vekerev Kedoshim, Tishalol. What does Resh, base, Kuf, Hey spell? Rivka. So we have Yitzchak opposite Rivka. What does Yitzchak and Rivka have anything to do with Nishmas? I have no idea. Okay, but obviously these dvarim ha'imdim beruma shel olam, dvarim megav, holy matters, Yitzchak and Rivka.
They say the author of that was Yitzchak.
Oh, it's whole Shiloh was. Yeah.
That's right.
Ooh, I never heard that before. I heard that it was that the author was the one who was the founder of.
I actually know Yitzchak.
There's a whole sugi about this, and then some chassidim don't they say it's totally shaker v'chazav. Some attribute nishmas to the person, to Peter. Is that correct, Peter?
Yeah.
Did they attribute nishmas to Peter Peter, one of the big people in the Christianity, one of the Chreis, whatever, I don't know.
Paul?
I think about Paul. Paul? Okay, Paul, I'm not familiar with all the nitty gritty, but some attribute it to Paul. And I have over here a very nice sefer from the person who writes for Art Scroll. He wrote a nice likut on the Farshim on Nishmas, and in the Hakdama, the best part is the Hakdama. He goes through he collected a lot of interesting information about Nishmas, and he cites this, that it's Paul, and he says that many, many people thoroughly reject such a, it's not true. They say that, but there are people who have done research, they thoroughly reject that it's not possible that Paul was the one who authored Nishmas. I don't know, you have to go back and study this. But going back, over here we have over here Yitzchak. Now, Yitzchak, the first starts for Yeshorim. From the Dalid Minim. Let's talk about the seven Ushpizim. Who from the seven was my stuff? You found my stuff, yeah.
It was in the shelf over there.
Okay, good, thank you. That's why I gave up my name and everything. Who from the seven Ushpizim would you call a Yashar? Let's go to a tzaddik. Who's the tzaddik from the Dalad Mi, from the Ushpizim, the Ushpizim?
Yosef.
Yosef a tzaddik. Yosef a tzaddik. Who's the chassid? We call Yosef a tzaddik. What entitles a person to the title of a tzaddik? There are different. You support poor people, or you are oymed in a nesoyin. You're oymed in this. Yosef was oymed in the nesoyin of Eshes Potiphar. If a person is oymed in the Akedah, okay, it's a question. But this is what it says, that Yosef, who was oymed in the nesoyin of Eshes Potiphar, earned the title tzaddik. That's why he's called throughout Chazal Yosef at tzaddik. He's also another reason, because he was Hamashpir. He was the provider. The shin. Hamashpir. He was the provider. A provider gets the title a tzaddik. Yosef is the tzaddik. Okay, who's the chassid? David said, Shamreini kel, ki chassid ani. David, what more do you want? David himself called himself a chassid. Guard me, Hashem, ki chassid ani. I'm a pious person. David called himself a chassid. You can't take that away from him. Who is the kedoshim? It's a pasuk. No, it's Avraham. It's Moshe v'Aaron. Why? Who asher diber Hashem b'kroivai ekodesh? I will be sanctified through my holy ones. Moshe said this to Aaron after the petira of Nadav Avihu. Rashi, Moshe said, Aaron, I knew that the Mishkan would be sanctified through the Misa Sadikim, and I thought we would be the ones. Me and you would be the ones through whom it would have been fulfilled. Hu asher diber Hashem b'kroivai ekodesh. We are the Kedoshim. Moshe said, I thought, and now look, Nadav Avihu are greater than us. But I thought if there was a need that there should be, through my holy ones, I would be a Kodesh. Who are the Kedoshim? Who would be a better Kodesh than me and you to be the ones through whom it shall be fulfilled? B'krovai a Kodesh. So Moshe and Aaron call themselves, Moshe called them the Kedoshim. Who are the Yesharim? Why is Chumash Halohu Chasuv b'sefer b'sefer Hayosha? The Sefer Hayosha. What is it? Says it's the Sefer Yosha. It's Sefer. Where does it say this? Sefer Hayosha and Sefer Yoshua. It says this. Sefer Shoftim. It says it. It says this pasuk somewhere. I don't remember anymore. It says there's a Sefer. It says the pasuk. It's written in Sefer Hayosha. What's Sefer Hayosha? What's Sefer Hayosha? So there's a machlokes. There are different opinions. And one opinion is Sefer Hayosha is none other than Chumash Bereshis. Why? Because the Ovois are the Yesharim. There are many opinions. Some say it's Sefer. It's Sefer Yehoshua. Some say there are different opinions, but the most common opinion is Chumash Bereshis is Sefer HaYoshar. Why? Because in Chumash Bereshis is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They are the Yesharim. So look at this. We have Yesharim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Tzadikim, who's the Tzadik? Yosef. Chasidim, who's the Chasid? David. Uvikarev Kedoshim, who are the Kedoshim? Moshe V'Aaron. Look at that. The Yesharim, the Tzadikim, the Chasidim, the Kedoshim just happen to be the seven Ushpizim. The seven Ushpizim. B'fi Yesharim Tishamon V'Kerev V'Sivsei Tzadikim Tisparach U'Vilshon Chasidim Tiskadosh U'Vikerev Kedoshim Tisalol. You know what that means? That we will praise Hashem in the presence of the Zayin Ushpizim. The Yesharim Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yosef the Tzaddik, David the Chosid, and Moshe the Aaron are the Kedoshim, the Ushpizim. Okay, now, let's go to the Dalid Minim. Gesundheit, how many Hadassim do you have? Three. Who are the Hadassim? When you have three, who are the three? The Yesharim. The Yesharim. Who are the Hadassim Keneged? The Yesharim. Who are the Yesharim? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why would Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov be the Hadassim? Well, you could say, number one, what are the Hadassim as they have Reach, Veloitam. Is that correct? Reach, Veloitam. Why Reach, Veloitam? Before Matan Torah. There was no Tam. There was no Tam yet. They were not Mitzuvi Yosef. But they had reach. They had flavor of Torah, of everything. They represent the eyes. The eyes. The vision. You look. They were the royim. The outlook for Klal Yisrael. Alright, you have to be done in this more. Who of the Dalid Minim is the Tzaddik? That's very easy. The Esrog. The Esrog has Tam v'reach. The Esrog is the most beautiful. It has everything. So when you want to match up, the Tzaddik is the Esrog. And who is the Tzaddik of the Ushpizin? Yosef. The Esrog is Yosef. Who are the Hasidim? The Hasidim are the Aravos. There are two Aravos. You clap the two Aravos. Moshe the Aaron, they hit the rock. Moshe, the two Aravos, is Moshe the Aaron. Why? What do the Aravos allude to? The lips. Chazal said the Aravos are the lips. They were the Medabrim. Aaron, lo isht devorim anoichi. Yes, you are. Aaron echicha yehiyen nivyecha. Nivsev asayim. There's a lot of connection you can make between.
Well, you could say, "Hey, Mamad Amr Mel Paro
Mel." Hey, Mamad Amr Mel Paro Mel Chmitzrayim, and what else? Yeah, and Moshe V'Aaron. Moshe V'Aaron. They represent the Aravos and the Kedoshim. What's the Kedoshim? This is the Lulav. The Lulav is the Kadosh. David. David is the Lulav. Why is the Lulav called Kadosh? I don't know. I don't know why it's called a Kadosh. David is a lulav. David one thing. What? David. Shomer, you're right. I made him say. I'm sorry. You're right. Right. Correct. Correct. Chassid. Right. David is the Chassid. The lulav is the Chassid. The lulav is the Chassid. The Esrog is the Tzaddik. The Aravos are the Kedoshim, and the Hadassim are the Yesharim. What a very nice remez is. What do you make a bracha on? What do you make a bracha on? You make a bracha on Netilas Esrog? No. You make the bracha on Netilas Lulav. By the Su'udas Liviyasan, they're going to pass around the Koishal bracha. Who gets the bench? They're going to give it to Avraham Avinu. I can't bench. I can't. I had a Yishmael. Yitzchak, I can bench. I had an Esav. Yaakov, nu mechubed Yaakov Avinu. I married two sisters. Can't do that. I can bench. Maybe there's more than someone else there. I remember Moshe of Aaron. I don't know, Moshe didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. Aaron made the eagle. Yosef. What was Yosef? What would happen with Yosef? I don't know. I know you have to go a little more. At the end, they give it to David. And David, it comes to me. That's right. I got no problem here. I'll take the benching, hands down. David gets the bracha. He gets the koshel bracha. The lulav is David. David is the chassid. David gets the lulav. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos V'mitzvanu Al Netilas. Lulav. David gets the bracha. Okay, so we have over here 7 ushpizin. We have 7 items in your hand. We have the yeshodim, the tzadikim, the chassidim, and the kedoshim. And now comes the clincher. The clincher is the yeshodim, the tzadikim, the chassidim, and the kedoshim all together spell Yitzchak. Right? Yeshodim, when you're holding in your hands, you're holding the 7 ushpizim. Don't you hear them say to you, don't touch the merchandise. Don't squeeze me too hard. Okay, the 7 ushpizim are all in your hands. You're holding in your hands Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Yosef. Don't squeeze me too tight. Don't suffocate me. And they all spell together, the Yeshadim, the Tzadikim, the Chassidim, the Kedoshim. They all spell Yitzchak. So now, what do you do when you take the lulav and esrog in your hand? What do? You shake it. Who told you to shake it? The Torah says, ulekachtem lochem. You take it. Who told you to shake it? What are you doing to the poor guys there? Teretz says, vayechrad Yitzchak charodo gedoyla ad meoid. Vayechrad Yitzchak. Rashi, in the Targum Onkelis, nianua. I think the word is, there's a word, nianua. Maybe it's like, yes, Yitzchak shok. When Yitzcharodo gedoyla ad meoid. Yitzchak, when he saw what was on the line, the nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, he gave the brachas to the wrong person. I was entrusted to give the brachas to Esav. And I gave the brachas to Yaakov. I gave them to Yaakov. Vayechrad Yitzchak charodo gedoyla ad meoid. That shaking of when Yitzchak shook. Okay, this is what you have to darshan. He when he came to the realization that it's Yaakov that is entrusted. It's not Esav. It wasn't a mistake. Okay, we don't learn Pashu Shah. He made a mistake. No. Right away, Gam Baruch Yehiyeh. He got it. But when he came to the realization that Yaakov has, it is his achrayos to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam to this world, to be the Or LaAmim, and to achieve the purpose of creation, it's Yaakov. The responsibility, the awesomeness, caused him to shake. After you go through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and you come to Yom Tov of Sukkot, it's like the Hashlama, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he gives bracha. He gives chayim, he gives bracha, and now it's basically a reenactment of Yitzchak coming to appreciate what we have in front of us, the mission statement, the mission purpose is Vayechrad Yitzchak Charodo Gedoyla Admaot. It is the shaking of the awareness of the responsibility, the achrayas of what your mission, what the role of receiving the brachos of Avraham, Yitzchak, the Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that's our drush. So to summarize very, very quickly, we have on Sukkot 7 Ushpizin. We have in the Dalet Minim 7 items. The 7 items are broken into 4 parts. The 3 Hadassim, the 2 Arevos, Lulav and Eshek. We're showing that the 7 Ushpizim, the Ushpizim are broken down into Yeshorim, Tzadikim, Chasidim, Kedoshim. The Yeshorim is Sefer HaYoshar, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Tzadikim, Yosef HaTzadik. Chasidim, David, Shomreni, Kelki, Chosid Oni. Kedoshim, Moshe, V'Aaron. Hu Asher, Diber, Hashem, Bikroivai, Ekodesh. That's solid. Can't argue with that part. And now we take the Dalet Minim and we connect them. The Lulav is David, the Eshroig is Yosef, is the Tzaddik, the Hadassim or the Yeshorim is the Avos, and the Aravos is Moshe V'Aaron. And now we put them all together. We have in our hands Befi Yeshorim Tishremov Kerev Tzivsei Tzaddikim Tisparach V'Shon Chasim Tishremov Kerev Kedosh Miskadosh. And when you shake that Lulav and Eshroig, especially like Nusach Svart, when you bring Rivka into the equation. Because when there's no Rivka, there's no shaking. Right? If Rivka would not have outsmarted Yitzchak, what would have happened? Would he shake? No. This is the plan. The plan is to give the brachos to who? To Esav. He thought he was doing the plan. He didn't shake. He gave it. When you shake that lulav and esrog, you shake the yeshorim, tzadikim, chasidim, kedoshim. The only reason why you're shaking is because Rivka got in here. Rivka made her way into your possession. She is there, and that causes vayechrad Yitzchak charada gedoyla ad ma'od. You now have the shlemus of everything together, realizing imloi kiyar Hashem osis azois gam baruch yihyeh, and there's a plan, there's a mission, there's a guide. Yaakov has the brachas. It wasn't the way we thought it would be, but this is how it is. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters into the picture, there's a responsibility, there is an element of yiras Elokim, and that came out in the shaking, and that is a remez or a drush in the Indian of shaking the Dalet Minim. All right, we're going to stop with this today. Now, yes, sure.
Is there any reason why we don't have a concept of Ushpizin by Pesach?
Good question. Why don't we invite Ushpizin to the Pesach Seder? Why do we only invite the Ushpizin only on Sukkot and not on? I don't know the answer.
Well, we do invite. We invite the poor already. So
you want to say better? You're saying a very interesting idea. You're saying is that there's definitely kol dichvin. There is a heavy kol. You want to say that kol dichvin? You're saying an unbelievable thing. What you're saying is incredible. Kol dichvin is equivalent to the ushpizin. Alin, how does it begin? The ushpizin? How does the nusach begin? Alin ushpizin. I forgot what it is. You're saying very. It's also. You're saying that they go together. That on Pesach, we invite real people, human beings in the flesh. And on Sukkot, we invite angels. So we invite the neshamos of the others. And it's zeh l'umazeh. You never saw someone say, kol dichvin yes. You never saw holach ma'anya, kol dichvin yes v'yechol on Sukkot. Why not? Invite the poor people into your Sukkot as well. How come it's not part of the ceremony? Only Pesach, Kol dichvin yesev yechol karm pesach. So you're giving the whole pshak only because of karm pesach. Shach, because of the karm pesach. People are hungry. You need what to eat. Yeah. So you're very good. You're saying something very interesting. Is that ein hachinami? It's that it's too.
Oni and so on. Whereas Anane Kavod, you're inviting into the Anane Kavod. What are you inviting? You're inviting the
angels. Yeah. You're inviting in the shamas of tzaddikim. So you're saying an idea is that it's zeh l'uma zeh. It's that the keneged, the ushpizin of Pesach, we have the kol dichvin. Keneged, the kol dichvin of Pesach, on Sukkot, we have the ushpizin. It's powerful. And that needs to be understood in its context. Very, very good. Very chashuv. Got to write that down. All right. Now, by the way, Rabbi Yisai, I made a miscalculation. I daven, Baruch Hashem, I daven all the years. I daven very late on Yom Tov, and Chaim Blend, 8 o'clock. They go very, very slow. Painfully slow. But that's what I've been davening all the years. So I feel funny to go down. So if it's okay, we can start tomorrow at about 10:15. It's just too tight for me to get here at 10 o'clock because they go very slow. So believe that if tomorrow we can start 10:15. 15 or 16 if I come a minute late. Okay, tomorrow, 10:15, okay. Tomorrow we're going to try to do the reshus. I want to try to make photocopies. We'll go over the reshus of the Chassan Torah and the Chassan Bereshis and try to identify the difference between the two. What? Oh, I wanted to say Kaddish? I don't know how to make Kaddish. You left
I'm going to go to the hospital.